You know, I've thought about it many times. When we come to church, there ought to be one reason we come, and that ought to be that God may speak to our heart. I think it's a sad time to come to church and God not speak to your heart. I believe every time the Word of God is open, it ought to speak to our heart in some way or another. But even worse than that is to hear the Word of God spoken and then not carry out what God wants you to do. And so today, I want to go back to a familiar passage of Scripture I've preached on in the past. But I want to talk to you today about Jonah. And I want to talk to you about when God speaks, you better listen. When God speaks, you better listen. I learned a long time ago that the best for me was just to do what God said. I found out when I disobeyed, it was a hard road to hoe. It was difficulty along the way. But here we come today to a passage of Scripture of Jonah. We know it well. And I know the main thing that most people is concerned about, well, he got swallowed by a whale or by a great fish. That's not the emphasis of the story. The emphasis of the story is the graciousness of God, the working of God in his life to provide the needs that he had. Now, the Bible said in verse number 1, I'm just going to read about three verses to get us started. We'll be looking at other scripture all throughout the book. But the Bible said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The last place I want to be is out of the presence of the Lord. And I pray today that God will speak to our hearts. Father, we do thank you for this time. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts from time to time. Lord, help us to always be receptive to the truth that is there. We live in a world today where people go about doing like they did in the Bible days, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But Lord, we're not to do what's right in our own eyes. We're to do what's right according to the word of God and according to the will of God. And Lord, I pray today that you'd open our hearts, that you'd help us to be receptive to the truth. And I pray that you'd help us to listen, but not only listen, but do what the word of God says do. And we'll thank you now for what you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. The old saying goes, truth is stranger than fiction. You stop and think about it. Many times the book of Jonah, I believe that it proves that point. Surely most people and liberals even today say that could not have happened. I want you to know that anything can happen with God if God so desires it. And we see it all the way through. Now, when a man goes out and catches a fish, we pretty much accept that as the truth, more or less. But then, if a fish goes out and catches a man, we would refer to that as being fiction. So we know it's true because Jesus Christ stated, it's not fiction, it's the truth of the Word of God. Some people have trouble with some of the miracles in the Bible. I have no trouble with any of them because they're all true. And they have to be because God is truth. We know that because Christ stated it in Matthew 12:40-41. He said, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with their generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jonah is a very interesting Bible character. I would say he probably had one of the most unusual experiences than anybody that I know. I can't imagine being swallowed by a great fish. I can imagine being eaten by one or bitten by one, but I can't imagine being swallowed by one and being there for 3 days and then be spit out on dry ground and still have the capacity to do what God wanted me to do. Poor old Jonah got off to a bad start. He didn't listen to God. God told him what he needed to do, but he went and did the exact opposite. Seems as if he did it without inquiring of the Lord what he would have him to do, even though he had already told him what he would have him to do. So first of all, in this relationship, we see Jonah resisted God. There's people that go to church and resist God every time the doors are open. They come to the house of God, they sit there, and sometimes, I don't think all people, but I think sometimes people sit there with the idea, well, preacher, bless me if you can. Friend, it's not a matter of me blessing you, it's a matter of God blessing you, but speaking to your heart. It's a matter of you hearing the word of God and then doing what he would have you to do. So Jonah resisted God. There's a lot of people today running from God. Rather than doing what God said to do, they run in opposite direction. I know people that said they was called to preach, and they never preached. I know people that said they was called to be missionaries, but they never went to the mission field. You know why? Because they resisted God. Not only did he resist God, but he rebelled against God. The Bible said Jonah didn't care what God wanted. And you know, that's the way it is today. People just, nobody would ever say this. They would never say, I don't care what God thinks, especially if you're a professing Christian. However, you obviously don't care if you ignore what the Word of God says. And so Jonah rebelled. He didn't care. So he decided to do what he wanted instead. Big mistake. When you choose to do something opposite of what God wants you to do, it's a big mistake. Jonah made a big mistake. And he ran from God. Jonah really underestimated the power of God and the hand of God, the strength of God. The rebellious prophet got into his head that he could escape the sovereign God. Can I remind you this morning? You cannot escape the hand of God. I don't care where you go or what you do. You cannot escape it. He thought if he ran far enough away from Israel, God would lose track of him. Friend, I want you to know today, God never loses track of anybody. He knows where you are. You can't get away from him. He knows what you're doing. But yet Jonah somehow got in his mind that he could do his own thing. And that's the generation we're living in today, is people are consumed with doing their own thing rather than doing what God wants them to do. And I believe the reason we don't see the blessings of God like used to be and like we ought to be is because people are turning their backs on God, walking away from him rather than walking to him and obeying his will. Apparently, Jonah had never read Psalm 139, verse 7 through 12. The Bible said there, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth of the day, and the darkness and the light both alike to thee." No place you can go to get away from God. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. And I just simply say, you better listen. Somebody told Muhammad Ali he was getting ready to fight. They interviewed his opponent. They said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, I'm going to get in that ring. I'm going to get on my toes, and I'm going to run from him just as fast as I can." They went and told Muhammad Ali what he said, and he said he can run, but he can't hide. And friend, you can run from God, but you can't hide. You better understand, you can't hide from God, can't run from him. You need to understand the truth that's there. When God speaks to you and tells you something, you better do it. Friend, it's not my will, but it's thy will be done. It's not what I want, it's what God wants. You see, when I got saved, I was purchased, just as Jonah was. We were purchased with a price, and the price has been paid, and God wants to tell us what to do, but it's a giant catastrophe when we disobey God. I want this morning just take a brief tour through Jonah. I want to deal with several things, give you some very valuable, I believe, principles according to Jonah, some things that take place. But when God speaks, you better listen. When God speaks, you better listen. First of all, I want you to notice with me, disobedience leads to discipline. Disobedience leads to discipline. Some people have the idea that we've got a loving God in heaven, and by the way, we do. But some people have the idea that we got a loving God in heaven, and he loves us so much that he says, "Y'all just go ahead and do what you want to do. Just have fun. Don't worry about what the Bible says. Y'all just go ahead because I love you so much. I'm going to take care of you." That's a false idea of who God is. Friend, I want to remind you, when we disobey God, it leads to discipline in our life. I would venture to say anybody sitting in this room today that's been a child of God for any period of time has experienced the disciplined hand of God. Jonah's story, as far as biblical record is concerned, Jonah got a direct call from God. You know, today, that's what we need to understand. The Bible said in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying," he told him to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, "and cry aloud for it, for the wickedness has come up before me." The command seems simple. He wants him to go to Nineveh. He wants him to go to Nineveh to preach a revival. He wants him to go to Nineveh to get folks saved. Now, Nineveh was a great city. It was a large city. It was one of the greatest and most powerful cities in the world at the time. Listen to this. The king's palace in Nineveh covered 5 acres. It had 72 rooms with hallways that were 180 feet long and 40 feet wide. Well, I tell you, you could live in the hall if you wanted to, I guess. But it was a giant city. It was a great, it was powerful. Nineveh was a huge city. Nineveh was not only a huge city, but Nineveh was a wicked city. You know, today somebody often says, this day and age, people are going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We've talked about how wicked they were. We talked about how wicked the Ninevites were. But the truth of it is, we're living in a day where I've seen wickedness at a level like I've never seen before in my lifetime. And furthermore, it's only getting worse. And notice what he said in verse 2. He said, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Friend, I want to tell you something. Your wickedness is a concern of God. It's a concern of God because he wants you to repent. He wants you to believe and understand the truth and hear what he says and do what he wants you to do. He does not want you to turn and run. He wants you to stand true to what he's called you to do. The stench of their sin was so great, it made God sick. And yet, he gave them a choice. He said, you're going to Nineveh, or at least he told him to. He said, you're going to Nineveh and you're going to preach to them. And they're either going to repent or judgment is going to come. Friend, I say to you this morning, we think about Jonah all the time. We say, man, that rascal, he was a rascal. If he was a rascal, we got a bunch of them today. People that ignore God, ignore the call of God, and they think they can get by with their wickedness when in reality, God will judge them one day if they don't repent of their sin. But there's one major problem with his plan. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Now, obviously, Jonah was a preacher, and he belonged to the Lord, and the Word of God came to him, and he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach a revival. Now, I'll be honest with you. I love preaching the Word of God, and I tell you, I wouldn't say I was a great evangelist or revival preacher, but I tell you what, through the years, I've never stopped short of wanting to go preach wherever I've been asked to preach. If somebody asks me to preach, I'll go preach. I'll do whatever. But here's Jonah. He said, I don't think I want to go. Listen to what he said in verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. That was the opposite direction of Nineveh. From the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why did Jonah disobey God? Why did he not want to go to Nineveh? You want to tell you, here's the truth, just the flat-out truth. Jonah was racist. He didn't like the nationality of the people there. Obviously, he was a preacher, but he didn't care whether they got saved or not, obviously, because he refused to go. Jonah knew God well enough that if God sent him and God told him he was going to preach revival and people was going to get saved, he knew God would do what he said he would do, and he didn't want that. Isn't that crazy? There's a lot of things, and I'll deal more with that a little bit later on. But we find today how sad it is today that people aren't willing to do what God wants them to do. It ought to be always, not my will, but thine be done. You see, Jonah was afraid that their rebellion might turn to repentance, that repentance would turn into revival. Jonah did not want the Ninevites to get right with God. They might just get saved, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. Friend, I tell you, I pray God never gets me to the point to where I don't care about people being saved, or rather as Jonah, not being saved. This is an awful attitude. How terrible, how horrible, how terrific it is, how selfish. But we want to stop and think a moment. Any Christian who refuses to witness and tell others about Jesus Christ has the same attitude as Jonah. Did you hear me? You said, man, Jonah, why didn't he go? Same reason you don't go. Many of us don't go like we ought to go. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I tell you, if God spoke it, what I say, you better listen. And if we're not listening, then obviously we're just as guilty as Jonah, because we're not willing to do what God told us to do. When God speaks, I've already quoted it, but he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's given us the opportunity to tell people about Christ and see if we get them saved. What's your reason for not doing it? Is it because you don't like them? Is it because you don't want somebody to get saved? God forbid that be the case. But when God speaks, you better listen. Every day, you either go to Nineveh out of the will of God. Nineveh represents the will of God. Every day you go to Nineveh, you're in the will of God. That's where he was supposed to be. But Tarshish represents the will of man. I believe I'll go down to Tarshish and do what I want to do. I'll have me a good time. I won't worry about what anybody says or does or thinks. I'll go down to Tarshish. It'd be much more fun. And I'd be better off. And I wouldn't have to put up with those stinking Ninevites trying to preach to them and get them saved by the grace of God. Friend, it was a sad day. But today we must stop and remember. Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. Can I tell you, when you go with the Lord and you're in the will of God, he pays the fare. I tell you, it's literally, it's free of charge, basically. I tell you, when you go with God, he'll take care. He tells them the word of God, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But when you go your own way, you're going to pay the fare, and it's going to be more costly than you could ever think. Stop and remember that the next time you disobey God. Next time you turn away from God and what you do. It was a hard decision for him to do. But we find that literally Nineveh was 550 miles east of Israel, while Tarshish was 2,500 miles west of Israel. My, what a difference. 550 miles, he'd have been in on revival ground. He'd have been ready to preach the word. 2,500 miles later, he thinks he's going to get to Tarshish. And he's going to stay for that long trip, but it's going to be a hard trip that he's going to have to pay. By the way, when you run from God, the trip is always harder and it's always longer. I hate to say today, and I hate to admit it, but I believe everybody would have to admit that there's been times in our life when we fail God. We fail doing what we ought to do. I would have to say today that I've been punished. I have had the chastisement of God upon me. I've had to get my heart right about certain things in my life. And yet we find here that when you get out of God's will, get out of God's way, it's a long road. And it's a hard road. It's a difficult road. Look at there. We notice as we move on down into the chapters here today in our text that the Lord sent a great storm. The Bible said, verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. From that verse to the end of chapter 1, there's a narrative about what happened during that storm. We don't have time to read that today, and I think most of you know anyway. We'll talk about some of it. But it talks about the storm. When the storm arose on the sea, every man on the ship began to call out to their gods. They took everything they could. They began to unload the ship. They threw anything they could over to the side, and they did everything they could to lighten the ship so that the waves would not abuse it or turn it over. Yet, nothing seemed to work. Finally, Jonah came true and decided he'd tell them the truth. He said, the reason that the ship is like this and the reason it's doing all this is because I'm in it. The only way you're going to stop this storm is to throw me overboard. They didn't want to do it. They still tried harder to save the ship and save Jonah. But they came to the reality that they could not do it. So they took Jonah and they cast him into the sea. And then the Bible said immediately the storm ceased. And the people on the ship were happy again. I know if you're a Christian, the Lord's trying to do you to do a certain thing. You better do what God wants you to do. You better say, yea, Lord, whatever you ask, I'll do. Be like Samuel. If you remember in 1 Samuel 3:10, he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. When we come to church, we ought to come to hear the word of God. Not only to hear the word of God, but be doers of the word of God. In Isaiah 6, verse 8, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You know why? Because he heard the call. He not only heard the call, but he obeyed the call. When it comes to walking with the Lord, one main thing, he's looking at our lives. What he wants and what he desires is obedience. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Friend, to walk in a world and people see you obey Christ, Jonah found out, and you'll find out, that disobedience always, always, always results in God's discipline in our lives. He has a way of getting our attention. He has a way when we walk in disobedience, we will soon learn that our arms are too short to box with God. He is able to control us in every area. Number two, not only does disobedience lead to discipline, but discipline leads to deliverance. Now, the scene shifts from the deck of the boat to the belly of the fish. I know these are great stories for the kids in Sunday school. They never forget them. They'll remember Jonah if they don't remember anybody else. But here we find the scene changes. And now there are those who often ridicule their non-historical ways, and the liberals, and they say, well, that just couldn't be. There's no fish can swallow a man. You know, it makes no difference what they say. We know a fish can do whatever God wants him to do. One writer put it this way. He said, if the Bible said a guppy swallowed a man, I'd still believe it if it was God's word. And I would too. For the Bible said, with God, all things are possible. In verse 17, the Bible said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Somebody said, impossible. Could I remind you again, with God, all things are possible. This is a miracle working God that is able to do anything that he desires to do. Oh, just let know, by the way, he was not an ordinary fish because the Bible said the Lord prepared him. He probably fixed him up. He was probably custom built. Jonah probably couldn't have lived in just a regular old fish's belly for a long time, but God prepared him. He probably made it so that everything was comfortable, maybe not comfortable, but he made it so Jonah could survive. I think that would be the only way it could be. I have no trouble believing that at all. Jonah got a whale house instead of a jailhouse. You know what I mean? He came to the point where he found himself in the middle of the whale, or whether you say great fish, it doesn't matter. He got a foam blubber mattress to sleep on. God prepared a place for him. He was spit out on dry ground. We don't know what kind of fish it was. Really doesn't matter. But the Bible quotes Jesus saying it was a whale. But it wouldn't matter what it was. If God said it, we need to believe it. I read about a preacher who preached about Jonah and the whale. After he finished, an unbelieving critic walked up to him. Said, preacher, how do you know if it was a whale that swallowed Jonah? Preacher said, well, I don't know, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah. The man said, well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? He said, then you ask him. We want us to understand that this whale was really the woodshed that God took Jonah to get his life right to do the will of God. Jonah, in chapter 2, verse 1, now, all this happened. And only now, not before, we don't see it nowhere else, but in verse 2, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You know something about that? He should have done that to start with. God told him what to do, and he should have listened. When Jonah found himself in that fish's belly, he started praying. And I'm going to tell you, when you find yourself in the predicament of life that you put yourself in because you were not listening to God, and you did not listen to what he told you, and you did not do what he told you to do, you're going to find yourself in a predicament like you've never found before. And if you haven't prayed in a long time, you'll start prayer meeting right then because you want and need the Lord's help. He also sent the fish to bring Jonah to a place of repentance. He humbled him. He brought him to a place of repentance. The Bible said in Jonah 2, verse 3 through 4, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all the billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. My, what a change in attitude. Brother, Lord, you get me out of this mess, and I'll look at the holy temple. I'll look in that direction. Look at verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. It took only a storm. It took a plunge into the sea. It took a ride in a fish's belly. It took a trip to the bottom of the ocean. But somehow God finally got his attention. And God began to work in a miraculous way, and God did answer his prayers in many ways. But yet, it's not always the case. Our lives are often enveloped with storms. Sometimes God sends storms in our life because of disobedience, just like Jonah. Because we're not doing what God wants us to do, God allows that storm. And by the way, I'm telling you, we wouldn't be very good Christians if we did not have storms in our life to keep us going in the direction we need to go. So God sends storms when we're disobedient. But you know what's ironic, and you may think don't seem right, is God sends storms sometime when we're obedient. You said, I don't understand. There's some people today I can think of, I could talk to. They said, preacher, you don't understand. I've done this. I've done everything right, and God's allowed this storm. Why in the world does God allow that? I tell you, I don't know why God does allow it, but I do know that he has a reason and a plan for why he does it. And whether it comes in a time of disobedience, get right with God. But if it comes in a time of obedience, just trust God. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all we have to do is follow. At other times, God sends those storms. Psalm 119, verse 67 said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Jonah, why did you have to be so hard-headed? Why did it take so long for you to turn to the Lord? Could I ask you that question this morning? Are you listening to God? Are you obedient to him? Are you doing what he'd have you do? Or is your life consumed with you and what you want to do? And you don't have time for God. Well, I doubt very seriously you're going to end up in the belly of a fish. But I can tell you this, discipline always comes. We find discipline always leads to deliverance. So the people had been delivered. The ship had sailed. I say it would be come back peaceful. And they repented their sin. And he was delivered because Jonah repented. He said, Lord, I want to get through this. A storm of correction is always difficult to endure. The whole purpose of storms is God is working in our life to duplicate our life to be more like his life. And that ought to be the desire of every one of us today. Disobedience leads to discipline. Disobedience leads to deliverance. We find the truth of what took place and what happened in chapter 2. Jonah repented. He finally came to his senses. He finally began to realize that God was showing him that he did not need to run, but he needed to come back. The next verse we see is in chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Could I say today, praise God, that God is a God of second chances. I tell you today, if I'd have just had one chance, I probably wouldn't have made it, but my God is a God of second chances. We find God allowed Jonah in spite of his former disobedience. I'm telling you what you're about to see and what we're fixing to talk about is the grace and the mercy of God in the life of Jonah. I would think today that God would have been so fed up with him, so angry with him, that he'd just let him stay in the fish's belly. But no, God in his mercy gave him another chance, just like he has you and me from time to time. But in spite of his former disobedience to be the preacher, he had the opportunity to lead one of the greatest revivals that had ever been preached, and he did, because God, by his grace, allowed it. Jonah's message had two parts. It had either you repent and get mercy, or you get judgment. The judgment of God is going to fall. That was mercy. If they refused to repent of their sin, they'd be overthrown. God's judgment would have fell on that city just as quick as he sent Jonah into the sea. Jonah might have fallen pretty far, and he might have hit pretty hard, but when he finally got around to doing what God wanted him to do, he went and preached exactly the message God told him to preach. I'm telling you, when God deals with you, you got to listen. Jonah still could have rebelled, but he would have paid for it. But yet, when he came to that point, God said, okay, listen, all this happened. I spared your life. I want you to go now. I want you to go preach exactly the message God told me. He said in verse 2, rise, verse 3, chapter 3, rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach that I bid thee. Every child of God ought to be doing what God tells them to do. But I'm telling you, I have a responsibility as a God-called preacher. There's stuff that I preach that people don't like, but I'm sorry. If it's in the Word of God, I'm going to preach it. I'm going to stand on it. Well, to preach on heaven. I tell you today, somebody said, oh, heaven's just an illusion. Maybe an illusion to you, but it's a place prepared for me. You ought to preach on hell. Somebody said, well, people don't like to hear about hell no more. No, but there's people dying every day going to hell. And when God tells you in his word to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering, that's exactly what he intends you to do. He'll preach the love of God. He'll preach the mercy of God. He'll preach the word of God. He'll preach the judgment of God. He'll preach the availability of salvation. But he'll also preach the necessity of repentance. In other words, I have a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. If I fail in any area, I have failed in doing what God told me to do, because God told Jonah what to do, and he gave him the words he wanted to speak, and Jonah did not do it, but when he finally got right with God, he did do what God called him to do. Jonah had been delivered from the correcting hand of God. I bet you he was glad to get out of that fish. I can't imagine. I would think the stench would have been unbearable. Sorry to bring that up. But I would just imagine it had been terrible. But when God, when we disobey God, God takes us to the woodshed. I'm not trying to scare you or trying to drum up anything, but I'm going to tell you something. When God punishes us, it's not always pleasant. Sometimes it don't always turn out like Jonah's did. Sometimes God punishes us in a way that we can hardly stand the thought, but God wants us today to listen what he has to say to us. There's no reason in the world why when God speaks we should ever say no. We ought to always say yes. No should never come out of our mouth. There's a reason why every wish of God should be an absolute command. We ought to do what he said. If you don't obey him, he'll come to the place that you wish you had. And if you do obey him, you'll never regret it. Number four, and lastly, devotion leads to delight. Jonah did exactly what God told him to do. He went to Nineveh and he preached the word of God in that great, wicked city. One of the lessons we learn is God's always willing, ready and willing to put the sword of his judgment back in the scabbard of forgiveness. If a nation is willing to repent, then it's exactly what happened. And that's exactly what happened when he went. Jonah chapter, look at verse 10 of chapter 3. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. The most ungodly people in the world. And according, said that God saw their works, and they that turned from their evil way, and he did not bring judgment upon him. In one day, as many as 200,000 people got saved. Now remember, Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want no part of that revival. He was going to run from it. He didn't want it. But God worked a miracle. And here's the thing. The miracle of it is that God took Jonah. After Jonah acted like he did and did what he did, God took Jonah and used him to preach the message. God is so gracious. But Jonah was ungracious. He was unthankful. God extended mercy through Jonah. And rather than send judgment on the people of Nineveh, many of them were saved. But there was a problem. Jonah was still angry. It's hard for me to comprehend in some ways how Jonah could see the hand of God, see people get saved, and not be happy about it. I don't understand it, but in all reality, when I look at our day and time which we live, I believe there's a lot of people that are that way. They're not necessarily angry, but they're just not interested in doing what God called them to do. There was still a lot of work to be done in Jonah's heart. He preached, and there was revival, but the simple truth is obedience to the Lord results in God doing some wonderful things for us, in us, and through us. The Lord's looking for some people that just obey him and honor him in their lives. We obey him, the Lord will use our lives in amazing ways. He may use us to bring sinners to Christ. He may use us to be a blessing to those around about us. He may be willing to honor obedience to his will, as surely is his will in disobedience. In Genesis 22:18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You hear me? because thou hast obeyed my voice. Luke 11:27-28, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. He said in James 1:22-25, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into a perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word of God. Most people like the story Jonah because of the adventure, because of the improbability, or what seems to be the impossibility. Like I said, that's one of the favorites in the kids' class. And it needs to be. I'm not saying that. But we look at it and really we think it's all about Jonah. It is somewhat all about Jonah, but I want to remind you more so it's all about God. It's all about what God wanted and what he'd do. I can tell you this. Well, this is a good lesson, the primary lesson of the book of Jonah. There's many lessons in the book. But one that stands a little higher than all the others is, it's one thing to resist God's will and his commands for your life, but it's another thing altogether to flat out refuse to obey. I'm simply saying today, when God speaks, you better listen. He expects you to listen. He wants you to listen. He wants you to do what he'd have you to do. Listen to God. Listen to what he says. Back in the day, there was a basketball player by the name of Larry Bird. He was one of the greatest players that ever lived. I remember him back in my day when I was a lot younger. And I remember one time they were in a very close game. And in that game, they were down to the wire. The coach, Casey Jones, called all the team over. He was beginning to diagram a play and tell them what to do. When Larry Bird spoke up, he said, just give me the ball and get out of the way. Mr. Casey Jones was angered by that. He said, I'm the coach on this team. I'll call the shots. So he turned to his team. He said, give Larry the ball and get out of his way. Friend, Larry Bird is not God. He might have had some influence on what people believed, but the truth of it is, God is God. And he expects you to listen. He expects you to hear. He expects you to obey. I believe today that I'm speaking to some folks I don't know, but I believe there's some folks probably have been running from God, or at least not listening to God. But we need to obey the gospel today. If you haven't, I invite you today to come to Jesus. Be saved. If you are saved, get right with God. Repent. Don't wait till you get into fish's belly. Repent today.